A lot of anticipation for a data dump in more ways than one. Good afternoon. You're listening to the American Ag Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. Arlen Suderman joins us with StoneX. And should we get a yes vote this afternoon, evening, and it goes on to the president's desk, besides the fact of a WASDE report, Arlen, we could see a lot of data coming our way over the next couple of weeks.
Absolutely. And you look at that, about 7 weeks worth of export sales data, 7 weeks worth of CFTC commitment of traders data. I could go on and on about all the data that we've been missing out on, let alone the USDA data for WASDE, the monthly crop report. We did not have one in October. So Friday's WASDE report will be our first big significant data dump that we've had from USDA since September 30th when they released the small grain summary and the quarterly stocks report. We haven't had a monthly crop report since September. That means we've got a long time during a critical harvest period not knowing what was exactly happening with the size of this year's corn and soybean crops. We have some ideas about what's happening. We do our customer surveys. Certainly others do customer surveys as well, but it's USDA's data that is considered the gold standard for what the market will trade. If, in fact, those private industry numbers match up with USDA, then we really wouldn't expect much of a correction. But if they're significantly different, that's where we could get the big correction. The other thing is going to be on export sales in particular. Has exports demand been solid over the last couple of months, or has it fallen apart? There again lies the opportunity for significant corrections in expectations versus reality. Unfortunately, the export sales data, we haven't got official word from USDA yet, but in the past what they've done is started with the oldest data, releasing a couple weeks worth of data every few days until you get to the current, get caught up. That still may leave us hanging in the balance for a bit longer here over the next 10 days to 2 weeks until we get everything caught up on that data.
So you look at that and the fact that we do get a WASDE report out on Friday. What are we going to see a lot more prepping going on in tomorrow's trade as we get excited to see some actual numbers coming in?
Yeah, I think there's two big things that can influence the markets right now. And I think we talked about the data dump and the nervousness over that. And some days it's positive for the market, some days it's negative. But for the most part, what we're doing is trading within a trading range, and the algos are taking us back and forth. The algo computers, I should add, taking us back and forth within that trading range. And today we traded both sides. We traded negative, and we finished the day on a positive note. But the other factor is China. If, in fact, we would get some word from that China is, in fact, making significant purchases of soybeans and maybe of other grains, we know that they've bought at least some wheat. They've bought some grain sorghum. They've bought some soybeans, but we don't have confirmation of any sizable volumes. If that confirmation would come through, that could help us break out to the upside. On the other hand, if we would hear more rhetoric that they have no intention of meeting those agreements and that those commitments are going to fall short of what was in the agreement from the end of October, that could break us out to the downside. So those are the two big factors. Normally, we'd be focused on South American weather at this time of year, but that's really taking a side position right now to what's really focused on data and what China's going to do.
And there was some talk, too, about how that data was being collected. And you and I both were chatting about that beforehand, and it sounds like there were some folks out in the field getting some of that information.
USDA's indicated that its production estimates will include the objective field data, and you can only do that if you have people actually in the field. And I guess that makes sense. And the people I know who work for USDA NAS, their statistical division that scouts field, they would rather be in the field, I think, than sitting in front, on a couch in front of a TV. And so I anticipate that many of them were out in the field sampling field crops during the harvest period. So it helps give us a little bit more confidence in these production estimates that we'll see on Friday.
So what are your thoughts when it comes to China? Are they back making some buying now of U.S. beans, at least possibly?
Well, I think they're making some token purchases. But I don't see much evidence that it's more than that at this point. They released their version of their monthly crop report. We call ours our WASD. To them, it's their CASD report. And if you break down the numbers there was no evidence that they plan on increasing imports by their state grain buyers. And so that means that they're looking to their private crushers to do the bulk of the buying. Well, their private crushers are value buyers. They're looking for where financially the best deal is. And if you look at right now the fact that China still has the 10% retaliatory tariff on U.S. soybeans, it leaves our soybeans about $1.50 per bushel more expensive than South American soybeans coming from Brazil. And if China were to lift that final 10% of the retaliatory tariff, we would still be anywhere from 5 cents to 20 cents more expensive. And so it doesn't give us a lot of confidence that they're going to buy the 12 million metric tons necessary to fulfill their end of the agreement by the end of this calendar year in this initial purchase. And if they don't, that makes it very difficult for us to hit USDA's export target for this year. I still expect USDA to keep its export target of 1.685 billion bushels of soybeans on Friday, because I think they're going to give China the chance to show one way or the other whether it's going to. But also really looks bad for the USDA to cut its export target 2 weeks after the president has said we've signed this blockbuster deal for selling soybeans to China, so farmers should go out and buy new tractors.
So tell me a little bit more about the phosphate and potash and how that's been pushed onto a critical list.
If we've heard a lot lately about rare earth minerals and how rare earth minerals are critical for our economy, for manufacturing, but also for making defense weapons for our national security, and how China controls 90% of the processed rare earth minerals in the world. And President Trump has been trying to establish other sources of those rare earth minerals, but that takes time. He signed agreements with various countries. He's invested government money in some industries to get them jump-started in mining and processing those rare earth minerals at home and elsewhere. But this really started during the Trump 1.0 administration when he said, let's look at those minerals that are vital to our national security, both in defense and in our economy. And let's make a list of them. And in fact, Congress followed suit then and passed a law in 2020 requiring that list be updated every 3 years to make sure we're current and that policies be adjusted to help facilitate companies mining and producing the minerals we need here in the United States and not be dependent on imports. Well, phosphate was originally and potash were both, I think, originally on that list. At least one of them was, and I think both, but got taken off over the last 4 years and are now both back on once again. And so farm groups are really cheering that on, and that gives hope that we'll be able to develop more domestic resources, fertilizers. We're not quite so dependent. Right now, we import roughly 97% of our potash fertilizer from Canada. You think of Canada as a friendly country, but when it comes to tariffs and stuff, that hasn't always been a friendly relationship, and it increases the cost. And so if we can get those fertilizers domestically, that'd be a step toward reducing our input costs.
So finally, Arlen, as we take a look at the livestock side, we saw a nice jump in the trade on Monday for the cattle, not so much the last 2 days. Was it a glitch on the radar that we saw the jump we had, or is there some proof in there that the demand and everything is still going well for the cattle?
Well, we saw the funds liquidate their speculative positions. We think most of them are gone, but we really don't know until we get CFTC commitment of traders reports published again. But basically, the spec funds got so scared of President Trump talking about lowering the price of beef that they left their positions. Feeder cattle prices dropped $70 from their mid-October high, roughly, and live cattle roughly $30. But that exceeded the fundamentals of supply and demand, and the cash markets were above those futures levels. So we saw that bounce a previous couple of days, trying to get back closer to where the cash market was. But lo and behold, over the last 24 hours, we've heard both President Trump and Treasury Secretary Bessent make comments about how we're close to an agreement to lower tariffs with Brazil, and that could increase the supply of beef coming into this country from Brazil once again. And so today we saw that pressure come back. Expectations are still that we're going to see solid cash trade this week. But here again, the headlines are driving the market.
All right. Sounds good. Arlen Suderman joining us today with StoneX. A quick reminder, commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss not suitable to all investors. That's the Wednesday market wrap-up on the American Ag Network.